There can be few sounds in pop music over the past 50 years that are more instantly recognizable than this. Trumpeter, composer, producer, record company co-founder, visual artist, philanthropist, chief bottle washer. What else do we need to include here?
Gardener. I'm a gardener. I take out the garbage.
There you go. Herb Alpert, who with his Tijuana Brass recorded songs in the 1960s like A Taste of Honey. Tijuana Taxi. The title song from the original film version of Casino Royale with Peter Sellers. ...81 years old and still touring the country playing concerts and making CDs, Herb Alpert and his wife singer Lonnie Hall, one of the lead vocalists of another iconic 60s ensemble, Brazil 66, will appear at the Gilloys Theater in Springfield Saturday, September 30th at 8 p.m. Herb Alpert called me from his office in Los Angeles last week, and we chatted about his career and his music.
You know, I was very fortunate. When I was 8 years old, there was a music class in my grammar school. And in that class, they had a table filled with various instruments, and I happened to pick up the trumpet and couldn't make a sound out of it at first. But when I finally did, the trumpet was talking for me because I was very shy. I'm still very shy, but that trumpet was making the noise that I couldn't get out of my mouth. So, and obviously, it had a profound effect on my life.
Now, that was in Los Angeles, right?
That was in Los Angeles. And then, you know, I started studying privately and had some great teachers. And when I, you know, was starting to have fun playing the trumpet, I was listening to all my favorites, you know, like Harry James and Louis Armstrong, and then it was Miles Davis and Clifford Brown, and I was trying to emulate those players, only to realize at some point I had the aha, you know, like, who wants to hear them, you know, a copy of them? They've already done it. So I was looking for my own voice, and I finally found it around 1958 or so. I heard a record by Les Paul and Mary Ford, How High the Moon, and Les was layering his guitar on the recording of this particular record. Somewhere there's music. And I tried doing that with my trumpet. I had two tape machines, and I went from one tape machine to the other, and I got this sound, and the minute I heard that sound, it was like, I think I'm onto something. And that was the genesis of the Tijuana Brass sound. And then, of course, I recorded The Lonely Bull, which was the first record that was released on A&M, a result of going to bullfights for about three springs in Tijuana. Recorded the song, and it took off like a rocket ship. I got a letter from a lady in Germany, and she said, "Dear Mr. Alpert, thank you for sending me on this vicarious trip to Tijuana." And I chuckled when I read it, and then I thought, wow, man, that music was so visual, it transported her. So that's the music I've always tried to make, that music that takes you someplace.
Around the time he recorded Lonely Bull, Herb Alpert and business partner Jerry Moss formed the A&M record label for Alpert and Moss, primarily to market the newly popular Tijuana Brass sound. Alpert didn't actually have a band by that name yet. He was overdubbing and using studio musicians. Within a few years, though, he put together a team of top-flight session musicians to be his permanent band, and throughout the 1960s, they issued one or two albums every year. And they got enormous exposure on network TV.
We started doing the major shows. You know, Ed Sullivan and Andy Williams and all the, you know, Dean Martin and all those shows.
All the variety shows. Yeah.
So we got all that great visibility.
I really wanted to talk to you, too, about the days of you and Jerry Moss running your own record label. I mean, A&M, to me, was a major label. I mean, of course, everybody was starting their own music labels in the late 50s and early 60s, but you guys really made a great success of A&M.
Well, you got that right. You know, there were little companies operating out of the trunks of their cars.
Oh, yes.
In that period, and we didn't have aspirations of starting a major label. We just wanted to put out a record, and then we got sparked by, you know, after The Lonely Bull was a big hit, some of the distributors we had said, well, why don't you guys just take the money and run? And that kind of sparked us into, hey, we're going to hold on to this and see how long we can ride this baby.
So right.
That's what we did. The Tijuana Brass Records were selling and supporting, you know, the company. And little by little, we picked up some artists. And, you know, in 1964, I think it was, we picked up Waylon Jennings.
Right.
And I produced some of Waylon's records. And then I did this record with Waylon called Four Strong Winds that was written by Bobby Bear. And Chet Atkins happened to hear it. And Chet was the head honcho at RCA
in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Waylon told me about this, and at that time, I wanted to take Waylon a little bit more pop, and then Waylon wanted to be a country artist, and he was excited about Chet's
offer.
Out to him, and I talked it over with my partner, Jerry Moss, and we let Waylon out of his contract. We thought it would be in his best interest to go with Chet Atkins. When my partner signed the release and I signed the release from the contract, we had about three more years left with Waylon. I looked at Jerry and said, this guy's going to be a big star. And Jerry said, I know it. And I felt, at that point on, I said, if we can be that honest with artists and look at our company from an artist's point of view, we're going to be very successful.
Alpert and Moss definitely signed a few other artists. The Carpenters, Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66, The Captain and Tennille, Procol Harum, Cat Stevens, Styx, Supertramp, and The Police, just to name a few.
Well, we kind of spread out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We have this image of being a easy listening company for a while, and then my partner took a trip to London, and then that opened it up for us with, you know, we heard Roxanne, and we felt crazy about that, and when we both saw this, the Police, it was like, wow, bingo, that's a group, you know, three guys sound like 20 guys playing.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, it's been a great ride, and I think we've always treated the artists right.
Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss sold A&M Records to the giant music and entertainment conglomerate PolyGram, now Universal Music, in 1989 for about $500 million. Since then, Alpert has stayed busy with touring, recording, and various other pursuits. At age 81, I don't think I'm speaking too far out of turn by saying that you're 81 years old. What keeps you on the road and keeps you recording?
Well, you know, I love what I'm doing. I'm passionate about it. I'm not trying to keep my name in lights. I record music because it's one of my real major pleasures in life. As you said, you know, I sculpt and I paint, and I'm a right-brain guy. So
yeah.
I'm going to do this as long as I'm capable of doing it.
In fact, Herb Alpert is an abstract expressionist, painter, and sculptor whose works have been exhibited in group and solo shows across America and Europe. But that hasn't slowed down his music performing.
We've been playing concerts for the last 11 and a half years with the same group, my wife and I. And I know we're making an enormous amount of people happy with our music, and that's what I love to do.
He's just released a new CD called Herb Alpert Music Volume 1, featuring standards and other songs, and he produced a delightful video to go along with one of the songs, I'm Yours.
The spark was my nephew, who's our manager, Randy Badass Alpert. Yeah, he, you know, wanted to do something that had something to do with love, and then we got some very special people involved, and one thing led to another. That's the vibe I wanted to put out, because there's kind of a strange energy going on in this country at the moment. And I wanted to put out a CD that had that positive energy and made you feel good when you heard it. I just like to make music that makes you feel good. I mean, I always felt if it's fun for me to play, it's going to be fun for a certain amount of people to listen to. And that's about how I approach it.
Well, one other thing we have to hit on, I mentioned just briefly the philanthropy part of it. You were crediting the music appreciation classes you had in L.A. in elementary school as inspiring your interest in the trumpet. Well, you've made it a major part of your life to give back, to make it possible for future generations of students to discover music.
Oh, absolutely. I think we all should be doing that. I mean, I've been blessed way beyond my dreams, and I get pleasure out of helping, kids. And I think it's an important ingredient for kids to have a creative experience at an early age. Whether it's playing an instrument or writing or sculpting, dancing, acting, it doesn't really matter. As long as they can express themselves and feel good about that, because if they get reasonably good at it, they get to appreciate their own uniqueness, and then if they can appreciate their own uniqueness, fingers crossed, maybe they can appreciate the uniqueness in others. And I think we need a lot more of that in this world.
So what will you and Lonnie Hall be doing at your concert here in Springfield?
I know that people like to hear some Tijuana Brass music, and I will play a medley of Tijuana Brass songs, and Lonnie will do some Brazil 66 songs. But surrounding that, it's going to be pretty open. It's going to be, songs of our choice, that a lot of them will be familiar. And it's going to be very spontaneous. It's not going to be something we do night after night exactly the same way. That's why it's fun for me to do.
I was going to say, if you're looking at your itinerary and how many dates you're playing all over the place, you'd have to mix it up a little bit just to keep from going crazy.
Well, I'm far from crazy, unless you know something I don't.
nothing I've heard, no.
Okay. No, I tell you, you get hooked on music. I love to play. I love to play with the musicians we have, and I look forward to it. I don't look forward to packing and unpacking, but
no.
Other than that, I like the process a lot.
Well, brother, just keep on doing it. That's all I can say. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Randy, thanks. It's been nice talking to you. I enjoyed it.